ladies and gentlemen, boiled and cooled, comic beard and extravaganza like no other. Feast your eyes and ears on things that defy, confound, mystify, and even melt your brain. Admission is free, liability is waived. So buckle up, kiddies. It's time for
the Weird Show.
What's up, everybody? This is That Weird Show, the freak show of podcasting, and I, of course, the master freak of them all, the Shadow. And tonight, I've got an interesting show. I've got a couple of friends of mine that are going to join me here in just a second. And before I go any further, I do want to take a real quick minute. I did this on my last show, and I just want to do it again. I want to say thank you to everybody that have subscribed, followed, shared, and liked my content on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, as well as the download sites such as Spotify, RSS, and all that. I appreciate every one of you, because no matter how awesome a show may be, no show is ever successful without you guys, the listeners and viewers. So again, thank you for, you know, thank you for your support, and I hope to see more continued support from all of you. Also, this show is streaming on Parapost Network Central. If you don't know what Parapost is, it is a streaming page on Facebook that you can go to and check out. There's all kinds of podcasts on there, conspiracy, cryptid, even music and movie and TV shows. So take a swing by, check them out. If you have your own show, reach out to Parapost and they'll be more than happy to help you get set up to stream to their platform. And also, as always, I have my own little side venture here that is Street Noid Design. This is where I do graphic designs, logos, video content, Facebook ad, things like that. So if you have a need, get a hold of me and I'd be more than happy to help you out. All right. Now the jibber jabber is out of the way. I'm going to start bringing up my guest here. First one, he is the mind behind Conscious Radio Network, as well as he got a conspiracy show of his own, which I will have him talk about in just a second. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Paul Mekas.
Good evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you might be on the spaceship we call Earth.
Well, thanks for stopping by. Also, a fellow Hornet's Nest kicker, somebody that I've gotten into trouble with before when we're talking about conspiracies and, you know, politics. He is the mind behind Paravich Studios and also one of the co-hosts behind Creepy Conspiracies, which he does with his wife, Wicca Queen. So, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Barron.
What's up, everybody?
You're still right with that. We do stir the hornet's nest, and it's been pretty frequently recently.
Yeah, well, the hornet's nests are everywhere. It's kind of hard to take a walk without kicking a couple here and there.
Yeah.
All right. So, Paul, real quick, tell us about your conspiracy podcast that you've been working on.
Well, it's actually on the Patreon.
Okay, Patreon.
And Rumble. I put clips on Rumble, but it's called Project Truth. And I figure if somebody really wanted to know what I'm talking about and it's really dangerous, they're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's $3 or $5 a month. I just got it started. Actually, I started a couple months ago just to get some stuff up there. Got some stuff on Secret Space Program and now casting for some guests for the show. So anybody in the room tonight that is interested, let me know and we'll start talking about same stuff we're talking about tonight and a lot more.
Very nice.
For sure. All right. Well, so we've all been watching the news. And actually, I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit. Because this date, I actually had my Guy Fawkes mask. And I remember the one part of the poem that's been very famous in the movie, Remember, Remember, the 5th of November. And this is when Trump got elected. Fast forward into January, he's sworn into office. And he's told us that he was going to set up the D-O-G-E, the Doge, and he would have Elon Musk head it. And sure enough, they hit the ground running. First thing they go for is the USAID. If you don't know what USAID stands for, it is United States Agency for International Development. It's basically taking domestic funds and sending it out to foreign countries to help their development or deal with, you know, disaster. That's what it says on paper. Strangely enough, or actually I should say not surprisingly, Elon goes in there, starts digging around, and the numbers that started popping up in just the preliminary. I wonder what we're not being told. And if that's the case, why wouldn't he want to tell us, even though he says he's about, you know, letting the American people know because they feel that we should know? Do you think that there may be something that he's trying to hold back because of just how dangerous this information is?
I think there's some dangerous, really dangerous information. You know, I tell people this all the time. There's stuff that we should know, and there's stuff as a collective that we should not know because it can be pretty harmful to the global populace.
What'd you, Matt?
I agree 100% with Paul. I do believe full disclosure, but I believe in a timely manner. I mean, there are some things that we as a populace cannot handle. There are some things, though, that we do need to know. And to me personally, where our money's going, why we're paying taxes, what it's going towards is something we should know. Mm-hmm. If we're putting money into it, we need to know what's going on. Right. Now, there are some things, obviously, that, like, and I'm not going to get into foreign policies and all that BS, but what I think it comes down to is let's figure out what's going on at home first before we do anything else.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, just a couple of days ago, some of the early numbers that popped up, 1.5 million went towards to advance DEI programs in workplaces in Serbia. Okay. My first question is, if Serbia really wants DEI program, why aren't they taking care of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you got $70,000 that go towards a DEI musical in Ireland. $47,000 go to a transgender opera in Colombia. And then $30,000 go to a transgender comic book in Peru. That was just the first set of numbers that started coming out. Since then, we find out that there's an adjacent agency called USIP. And I forget exactly what it stands for, but it's kind of similar to what USAID is for. They help deal with foreign programs. USIP put out what they call a white paper, which is a note telling the Taliban, and this is in 2023, telling the Taliban to not shut down the poppy field because it would create, quote unquote, this is what they actually said, an economic and humanitarian disaster. If you don't know what the...
Not to cut you off, brother, but apparently, if it's the same one, it's United States Institute of Peace.
Thank you. Yep. Of peace.
Thank you, Google.
Now, what's interesting is the poppy field they're talking about is what's known as the Golden Crescent. This is where 95% of the heroin in the world comes from.
Let me guess, China has the major share of the market.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this is where you start to, you know, like we talked about, ask questions. Where's all this money going? And I'm sorry, what does a transgender opera have to do with keeping kids off the street and fed and sheltered? Can anybody make that make sense?
The best comedian in the world couldn't.
Yeah. That's when I wish George Carlin was still with us.
Oh, Carlin would rip that to shreds.
You know, the whole thing is again, I understand foreign policy. I understand we have to help our neighbors out and help other countries out to maintain good standing. Cool. For import, export. Cool. I get it. I absolutely get it. But I'm sorry. Sending all that money overseas. I mean, we're not even going to get into the Ukrainian war, but, and then giving American citizens only $700 to rebuild their lives as a one-time payment. That's a big F you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the problem to me.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about $700 to the people who lost their homes on the LA fires.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's the way I've always thought about it. I'm going to take care of my house. I'm going to take care of my bills. If my neighbor needs help, I will help them, only if I take care of me first. And I think that's the way it should be. We need to take care of us here in America, our working class, our blue collar people. We're the ones who are fucking struggling.
Yeah.
We're the ones who, I mean, yeah, they may be in a bad situation. Cool. But let their fucking government take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what the government's for. Not us. We are not babysitters. That's just.
Well, you know, Paul and I, we talked about, you know, the LA fires, and we'll talk about that in a second here. One of the things that I also found out in my research yesterday, and it kind of connects with all of that, is according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, it would take $20 to $30 billion to either completely eradicate or at least put a substantial dent in the homeless crisis in just the United States alone. And so far, what Elon Musk has managed to find, that could already be covered instantly. And not to mention, at the rate he's going, there's a good chance that he might be able to find enough money that's being spent elsewhere to completely wipe out the national debt before the end of Trump's term.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they could never find that, though, remember? How often were we lied to about that? And again, you know, again, it all comes down to me personally, and I'm going to say personally, take care of ourselves, take care of here, take care of the states, take care of our people. That's what our government's supposed to do. And, you know, they wonder why there's so many, you know, riots and protests. Hello.
Yeah.
We're asking for help here. And, you know, they say about, you know, the stimulus. I'm sorry, but I thought the stimulus was supposed to be, you know, guilt-free and tax-free and all that other stuff. I saw a hit on my taxes, on my federal return because of the stimulus.
Yeah.
They gave me money and now they're taking more money. Excuse you. I mean, and the Wicked Queen and I were even just talking about that. It's tax season. So why the hell? We'll talk about that real quick. But I noticed a huge difference. In the last 4 years, my refund has gone down.
Yeah.
Before that, I was getting back a couple thousand dollars without claiming my daughter. A couple thousand.
Yep.
I'm getting 200.
Whoa.
This year. 200. Where's all that money? Where's all my taxes? And I'm not the only one. The Wicked Queen is only getting $50. And she's a state employee. It's disgusting. And that's from federal. I'm not talking, that's not state. State, I don't get anything back ever. But, and I know we're not the only ones. I use TurboTax. I'll name drop, but go back and take a look at your taxes. You will see a trend. And in the past couple of years, and I'm not just saying it's Biden's fault, I'm saying it's a political fault. The past 6 years, it has been such a decrease. I want to know why, but nobody has answers.
That's why they need to audit the IRS.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. And I don't think it needs to be a government audit. It needs to be us. Mm-hmm. We should get those. We should see those records.
Which is one of the reasons why Elon Musk was slated for that position with the DOGE. Because he's not, you know, affiliated with any known government agency. He is an independent businessman. Who, I mean, say what you want about him, love him or hate him. Who would you rather have audit the system? A corrupt individual from the system who obviously doesn't understand business at all because they're trying to run America like a business? Or do you want somebody like Elon Musk who managed to figure out how to make a rocket land by itself?
Which is cool.
On a dock in the ocean. You know, I mean,
Now, here's the thing. And I'm a Republican registered, but I consider myself a realist. You know what I mean? I go with common sense. And I'm sorry, but whether you're a Democrat or Republican, again, you're absolutely right. America is now a business. And I'd rather have a businessman have control than a freaking puppet.
Yep.
And, you know, and not to bash anybody, because that's not what I'm here for, but you want to talk about who has the best ventriloquist in the world? It's not Jeff Dunham. I'm sorry. It's the Democratic Party, because we had a puppet in office for the past 4 years. And I didn't see anybody's lips move. Well, at least not these lips. I saw other lips moving.
Yeah. Now, that within a certain range, I can totally support. But when it comes to like the situation with the USAID, I in all honesty, when I look back at it, this agency was established in 1984. So I now have to at least be honest and open enough to say that every president since 84 has a hand in how that agency was handled. So it isn't just a Democrat thing. It's no. Definitely a politics thing.
Yeah. And I'm sure I'm sure it started off, you know, with the best intentions.
As most things.
Then eventually, you know, you get the people in there, the corrupt suits, and, you know.
Well, it comes down to whose pockets can fill faster. And I'll tell you right now, it's not ours.
Yeah.
We see that every day. I mean, they come up with all these different organizations, which is great. And most things, like you said, Paul, you know, they start with good intentions. Most things do. Most things start with great intentions, but if it's not working, it's not fucking working.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You need to be able to change things up, and putting limitations on our government. I mean, look at what Ronald Reagan said. The people should not fear the government. The government should fear the people. And I'm sorry, that's not the way it is.
Right.
And all I gotta say, it's founding. I'm getting fired up, but dude, this is why I love hanging out with Shadow, because him and I get really going on this ball.
All right, well, we're gonna shift to a different fire, and yet a deliberate segue. The LA fires.
Yes.
Now, Paul and I, we were talking backstage about the potential implications of it being a some sort of controlled or directed energy weapon. And so, Paul, I'll let you start off on that, because you brought that up backstage. So what are your thoughts on the idea of an energy weapon used for the LA fires?
When I first started seeing the aerial footage, choppers going over and, you know, doing all the drones and aerial footage and pictures, and I'm looking at these houses, massive freaking houses. The buildings, the structures themselves are vaporized. I do not know a fire. I've seen many fires, worked with many firefighters. I've never seen them in that condition. And you have the trees, you have the shrubs. Some of them are burnt, but you got these large trees, green, still standing. It looks like they haven't even been touched. You got plastic garbage cans, you know, out in the driveways and stuff, not even melted. So it's like, okay. And I've seen some of the experiments on these DEW, these lasers and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, you can start one very quickly, very hot. And all you need now is the fuel, which is the structure. But I don't know, because I also question too, is like, okay, how long is it burning? You know, what is the condition of its burn rate? It's very, very weird. Looking at how these, you know, the aftermath, it just, I don't know.
Well, you know, shortly after the LA fire reached the level of damage that it did, and I started seeing people talk about Lahaina, I actually did a little bit of research to find out, is there any type of laser experiment or process that can be used to where things within a certain color range would be unaffected. And come to find out, there's actually three ways that you can achieve this. And it's all about adjusting the frequency of the laser, as well as the intensity.
Yeah.
So when you hear these reports of things that were of a certain shade of blue not being touched in Lahaina, and all of a sudden you start to hear people saying, well, we're starting to see some stuff like that here in LA. With the possibility, with those three experiments in mind, I mean, that possibility now become very real and very plausible.
Yeah.
Now, what are your thoughts on that, Matt?
Well, a couple things. And, you know, Paul, I agree. The burn, the pictures of what was burnt, absolutely. It's not natural. I've seen that. The flip side of it, I have seen some weird stuff. Like, I was out in San Diego when San Diego had their fire in 07. And I tell you, it looked like it was snowing from where I was stationed. And I got to see the fires personally, and I've never seen anything like that before. And I'm from the country. I'm from Pennsylvania, middle of nowhere. I've seen some fires. That was just, that's something I haven't seen. Is it plausible that's what it is? Yeah, because the Santa Ana winds were active, so to speak, during that time. So it's just like taking a hair dryer to the fire. It could have, that could have been something. Again, logical thinking, it could be. Is it? Don't know. It was weird, the pattern, though, the burn pattern from if you were tracking it. It didn't make sense to me. It just really didn't make sense. I mean, and Shadow, you and I have talked about the fires in Hawaii, and we've talked about this before. There are so many similarities that, to me, it can't be coincidence. It just can't be. And the other thing is, too, as far as the LA fires is concerned, the fact that the city already has a rebuilding plan in place during the fires themselves, while it was still going on, red flag to me, number one, turning away fire trucks and companies literally by the thousands who are offering to help just because they don't meet standards. Excuse me. I don't know any fire company that doesn't, when they're needing help, where they refuse it. Yeah. You need water. You need supplies. You need bodies. You'll take everybody and anybody you can.
Mm-hmm.
So to turn people away like that, don't like that. That throws some red flags too. Now, I'm not sitting here going to say that the government had anything to do with it, but smells like shit, looks like shit. It's probably shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was ironic to me, which is, and it's vulgar when I hear about it, when I first heard about it, when you said, you know, some of these fire trucks that were turned away, the state of California, all these firefighters from Mexico were up and ready to enter the state.
Yep.
And some a-hole from the state of California said, oh, no, you can't come in because we have to test your emissions on your fire trucks first. You got a fire going on. Who gives a shit about a fucking fire truck?
Well, it wasn't even just Mexico. It was other
states.
Nevada, Utah, Oregon. They were all coming to help. And they're like, no, thank you. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, that's like saying, like, you don't like the fire company, your local fire company, your house catching on fire. It's like, no, don't send those guys. Send these guys. No, get your ass over here. You know?
Yeah. What's also interesting is the fact that, you know, this is starting to come out. Should be public knowledge now, but it seems that every wildfire season that California goes through, every wildfire season, and Gavin Newsom is implicit in this, but the water system is either dried up or there's something wrong with the hydrants in the camp used. Every season, this is the pattern that happens over and over and over again, and nobody questions it.
Yeah.
At least nobody that, you know, doesn't want to admit that, you know, there's a big problem that is starting to become very much out of control.
Yep.
But, I mean, that whole water issue. I mean, again, Paul, you and I talked about the backstage, about how they're rerouting fresh water into the ocean.
Yeah. They could be they have the ability to capture billions of deciliters of rain every year to store it. But they've opened up the coffers and it just spills into the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. And there's been so many different water reservoirs that have been emptied, especially in that area. It's like, hello, like, for example, Camp Pendleton, which is just north of Oceanside. they have everything, and that is a military base, by the way. They have everything ready to go at a moment's notice, especially for wildfires. Hello, there's resources. You're an hour and a half away. Where were they? Why was, I mean, they have their whole brigade, like they have Marines ready to go at a moment's notice, especially during the fire season. Yeah. They know the dry season.
You were a CB, right?
I was. Am.
And so you can understand the logistic that would be needed to, you know, deal with a situation like this. And again, like you said, being in such close proximity to LA, the logistic did not seem severe enough to warrant not having them get involved.
Do you want to hear something hilarious?
Well,
disgusting, but hilarious. From San Diego, from where I was stationed, to go to LA, where those fires were, is a 3.5 hour drive up Interstate 5. Camp Pendleton, it's about a halfway point. You've got about an hour and a half. You've got multiple different bases with emergency response people ready to go at a moment's notice. And I know that because guess what? In 07, with those fires that I was talking about, guess who was on one of those? We set up camps at base for our people. And guess what we were still doing? Sending resources out. Bottles of water, you name it. We were packing them, staging them, ready to go. There are several military bases within reach that can be there within minutes. Minutes. Where were they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why weren't they helping out? We had Canadians come down and help us out. Why were they so good?
Yep.
This makes who's behind the scenes making them stand down? They're like, stand down. Don't worry about it.
Well, and here's something I don't know if anybody's put. It made me question. We okayed a bunch of Canadian aircraft, which nothing against them. I'm glad they did. So, Brian, don't hurt me. I'm glad they came down and helped out with their planes to help with the wildfires. That was really nice of them. Mm-hmm. What makes them so much better than the others here in the States? The ones from Oregon, Nevada, Utah, all the ones who were coming to help out, what makes them a lot better? The Mexicans, the Mexican border right there, it's literally right there.
Yeah.
I don't know if people understand just how close Mexico is to San Diego. I was stationed in San Diego. I had a place in Imperial Beach. Look it up. It is just south of San Diego. I could see Tijuana from my porch. I could smell it from my porch. I could see it. That's how close it is.
Right.
LA's 3.5 hours or 3 hours north of that. You can't tell me that the Canadians coming down to help out was more important or better quality than the ones who were literally that short of a drive. To me, there's no justifiable reason. None whatsoever. Emissions, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Who cares? You want to talk about destroying the environment? How about burning it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about the homes. Everybody has plastic. Everybody has rubber. Everybody has all these different things in their homes. That's going into the air. What are you going to do? Tell them, oh, wait, no, don't burn that. You know, fuck you.
Well, especially with, you know, today's technology that has cobalt and lithium in pretty much every single thing, your tablets, your routers, your cell phones, your computers, everything. And just the mining process to get these two chemical minerals for our technology is extremely toxic. I can only imagine what it's like when that stuff catches fire. And, you know,
it basically means explosives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're explosives. Which, by the way, I did see something on. I switched over from TikTok to Clapper, but I just side note, you were talking about burning phones. I saw a guy, fucking moron. He was on his phone while he was grilling. And he went to go flip everything and move things to the side and put his phone down on the grill, caught it on fire, picked it up with a spatula and threw it on a fabric couch and caught the couch on fire. And then he's sitting there, couldn't figure out what to do. And then he starts smacking it with the spatula. I was laughing. And then he picks it up while it's on fire and goes, honey.
Some people do not have the genetic capability to be intelligent.
I say it all the time. The only common sense anymore is a penny.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't mean to go on that tangent, but you said a cell phone and I just flashback to this morning.
Dude, you see when these any EV out there, dude, when they catch on fire,
yeah,
all the fire departments even said, dude, we can't put it out. We have some directives, we have some alternatives, but they're still experimenting with them.
But you brought up a question before, you know, who's behind it and why? You know, and with anything really. But we mentioned how everybody keep going after Elon Musk and Trump and Bezos and Gates. You know, they're calling them the elite and hyper wealthy. But Paul and I kind of came to the same agreement. These are the ones we just know about. But the one that we don't know about, they're the ones that are really pushing the envelope on a lot of the weird things that's happening.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Right.
And right now, the media in the deep state, or those who are never to be named or known, you know, Musk and Trump are the distraction. And they've been using that ever since day one, ever since 16. And they're going to continue using them and the entire administration as a distraction. But when your distraction starts really pulling this evidence, then it's a problem to them. And I see that maybe potentially something coming down the road where the war actually starts to happen.
Right.
To be honest, like everybody talks about World War III. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is another civil war.
Yes.
Because I completely agree. Things are going to start coming out. The fact that all these different things are being declassified. I mean, hell, he declassified some of the Kennedy files on the day he was inaugurated. I clapped. I was like, good, about fucking time.
Yeah.
We need to know. Those are things, again, like we talked earlier, we need to know. I think what it comes down to is, what can the American public handle? And I'm sorry, but until people smarten the fuck up, we can't handle anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right, Paul. Like it's, and Shadow and I have talked about this before. It's look over here and I'm going to do this.
Yep.
And then we don't hear about it. We hear about something big and magical, something going on. And then what's going on behind the scenes? What aren't we hearing about? That's what worries me.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, what happens? Because it will come out eventually. I think the American people are going to turn, and it's not going to be a North versus South. It's going to be politicians versus everybody else.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, it basically, it's not going to be the American Revolution.
No.
It would be more like the French Revolution, or it really just boiled down to a war between the rich and the poor.
I look at it as an episode from Star Wars. It's the Empire. The Empire is the deep state. They are the ones that have all the money, taking our money.
Yep,
and then you have the rebels, which are the people, the commoners. It looks exactly like that playbook.
Pretty much.
100%. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
So, I mean, one of the things that I heard about the LA fire, the fire, why that could be happening, because we, you know, that all go back to what we started talking about, money. L.A. was slated to be the next site for the Olympics. I forget if it's 2026 or 2028. But it's going to be the first smart city in the United States, and they would host the Olympics. And they were saying that, you know, the cost to upgrade an existing infrastructure is astronomical. So it would make more fiscal sense to start over. Well, you can't really do that without having some sort of natural disaster, like a wildfire, where a lot of people lose their properties and end up selling their property to, you know, some faceless lawyer or corporation or organization or something. And now you have all this pristine land that's been, you know, basically sterilized for you to create your smart city. What do you think the likelihood of that that's the case behind the wildfires?
Well, they didn't have enough time to turn on HAARP to create an earthquake, but that would have caused too much damage. Wait,
right?
But it's feasible. We've been don't know. It's look what happened in Australia. Queensland experienced the same thing, you know, all those mm-hmm. fires. And they had a rail system slated, but they couldn't put in this new rail system because of all the current infrastructure. So what happened? I'm not pointing fingers, but what exactly happened on this continent?
Yep.
The exact same thing.
Matt?
You know, again, I go back to the plan that they had in place while, like, they already said what they had blueprints drawn out. They had everything, schematics, while the wildfires were going on. I'm sorry. Your attention should be at your people. I mean, nothing against the Hollywood stars, but they can deal. I'm sorry. Yeah. They can live their lives. They'll be fine. Most of them have three or four different homes anyway. They're not homeless.
Right.
When you, and I've been to Studio City. I've been to those areas personally. I mean, actually, that's where a lot of my paranormal stuff happened, was in that area. Those people are just like us. They're living day to day. They work the 9-to-5s. They work hard for their money. They earn their money. They don't have the resources that these, you know, stars do. I mean, right. even some of these movies extras, like I investigated a home with an executive producer. She was an executive producer of a show. She lives in an apartment, you know, just mm-hmm. a little tiny thing. And they pay outrageous amounts of money for these things. So yeah. They don't have the extra income.
Yeah.
So, I mean, while I agree it would be a lot of money, the pros don't outweigh the cons. I'm sorry. If there was somebody behind it, pros don't outweigh the cons on that one, dude. No, you fucked up. But the fact that they had something ready to go that quickly and while it was going on, to me, it throws the biggest red flag.
Right. Well, you know, I have to question. There's so many things that I question. It's not just in the 4 years of Biden, but also during the time of Trump and during the time of Bush, during the time of Clinton. There's so many questions that I have that I know I'm probably never going to get answers for. But I do feel that even though it may look like we're not going to get the answers, at least in our lifetime, we still need to keep asking. Mm-hmm. And we have the case, you know, like I said, with the JFK file being opened up. Aside from knowing who's behind it, and not just why, but the motive behind that why. Because a lot of times with some of these conspiracies, I mean, like, for example, the JFK assassination, one of the biggest things that come to mind is he was the president at a time they just got done having that huge standoff in the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Vietnam War start to kind of percolate a little bit, you know, and this is where the Vietnam War was an extremely unpopular war. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't like it, but the Vietnam War was also, like World War II, was a war of innovation because we start to see technology start to come out during the Vietnam War that, you know, really can only be explained as an innovative explosion within the military industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
So with JFK wanting to shut down the Vietnam War, I can see that being the case. You know, they don't want to lose that war. Win or lose, it doesn't matter if America wins or Vietnam wins, which obviously they say it's a stalemate. Mm-hmm. The military industrial complex and the big wig still win because they made all the money off of that.
Yeah.
That's the concern I have with the Ukraine war. It's not because Russia's a bad guy. Russia put up with a lot of crap with NATO since they left. And yes, Russia was a part of NATO. A lot of people don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are some of the questions you might have with all this?
Well, the Vietnam War, too, was also an experiment with the complex because that's when they've admitted and dropped the ball and said, oh yeah, we started doing weather manipulation, changing weather, seeding the clouds, doing all this research during that war, because they knew it was the perfect environment for it.
Right.
So, and
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
who's gonna snitch on you out there?
Yeah.
You know, everybody too busy shooting at each other. Nobody's gonna pay attention to what's been going on. I mean, have you heard of the demon goggle conspiracy that came out of Vietnam?
Mm.
Okay.
Thank you.
This was an interesting one. This just came across my feed. I'm kind of skeptical of this one just because there was an argument that actually was a very valid point for this. But there was an instance in Vietnam when they first started to experiment with night vision technology, and there was a specific tint of red glasses. Now, the red glass was discovered by accident by somebody working on photo tint back in the 1800s or early 1900s. Mm-hmm. Well, the military got a hold of technology. They realized that coupled with certain types of lighting and sensors, it would work at night vision. But here's the interesting thing. When they started to experiment with these goggles, only the soldiers were allowed to wear them. Officers and chopper pilot were strictly ordered to never put them on. Mm. Well, in one case, a gunner had them on and just went crazy and just started firing off the side of the chopper. Nobody could see what was going on. The commanding officer is up front with the pilot, and he's like, you know, cease fire, what are you shooting at? And then soldiers on the ground started shooting. And the story goes that the soldiers who wore the night vision goggles were seeing demons, because that technology allowed them to see within a certain light spectrum into the supernatural.
Wow.
Now, that's the conspiracy. The argument that I heard that made me, you know, question this a little bit was, there is a report that talked about the chemical that was used for the glass did leak into the eyes of some of the soldiers, which triggered a hallucinogenic reaction.
I can see that. Yeah.
So I mean, that, like I said, there's reasonable doubt. But if it turned out that really did happen, can you imagine the paranormal community getting all caught up with that?
I was just gonna say, give the technology to us. We'll take care of it.
Heck yeah,
we'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. Do you really want to see what's on the other side of that veil you can't see?
Yes. Everyone always thinks I'm crazy, and if I start saying I have ideas.
Yeah, where's the truck? I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm, right.
And if I start giggling, that's going to be even worse.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't understand the joke between Matt and I, we used to play a game.
Joke?
We used to play a game called Phasmophobia, and it was a paranormal investigation game. And every once in a while, you would hear, I have an idea. The first couple of times, we thought it was funny. After a while, it just got to be a warning, because they always screw something up in the game and somebody dies.
Yep.
So, yeah, anytime you hear him say, I have an idea, you'll hear one of us say, where's the truck?
Or, oh, shit. Or you hear a sigh. Or what is it now? Or
here we go. Yep.
That one. That, here you go. That one's good, too. But some of them are good. Some of them are good. Most of the time, yeah, you want to run. But, I mean,
so,
I get it. I mean, there's, first of all, I just want to say, the way they treated our troops over for the Korean War is bullshit by themselves. Mm. There was absolutely no support. It's kind of like, okay, go play. And then, okay, you guys did that. They pushed all the blame on the soldiers. That, number one, fuck you. Nobody wanted to go over there. I can tell you now, for someone who signed up to go over to Iraq, did I want to go wholeheartedly? No. Who wants to go into a war zone? But right. I wanted to, because I wanted to help. I wanted to do my part. It'd be an experience for me. It'd be something. Maybe I could see something and help some way. I don't know. I wanted to go.
Right.
Did I, like, was I giddy and excited? No. Who wants to do that? I was happy right where I was in San Diego.
Yeah.
But the way they treated everybody, and to be honest with you, nothing against any of the vets that I've met, Desert Storm, Iraq, whatever. I'm happy to meet you. I have the utmost respect for the Korean vets.
Mm-hmm.
The utmost respect, because they didn't get it. They deserve it.
Yeah.
They saw and did some things that nobody in their lifetime should be able to see. and some of them can't unsee it.
Oh, man. That probably explains my biological father, which passed away when I was 7. He's a POW MIA from the Korean War. Ugh. And a lot of my family members on my father's side have told me some of these stories that, you know, my father was a man of the cloth beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy, preached in church, you know, and but when he came back, a complete 180, different person.
Well, here's the thing, like, not even just what the Viet Cong did to us, but what our own government did to our troops is real, is to me complete. I mean, you come back from overseas today and you have PTSD. They will take care of you. They will make sure that you get the help you need. Back then, that's your own fault.
Yeah.
Well, to a point. I mean, I have a friend of mine who was a field medic in Iraq. He told me some horror stories about how there were times where he had to put his knee on a wound, fire off his weapon to get, you know, to get him to the enemy to stop, and then he have to go back and try to patch people up.
Yep.
And one of the things that he told me was, and this is something that people don't think about, when you're out there in the combat zone, the one thing we take for granted here in America is our ability to dispose of medical waste.
Yep. Yeah.
You can't do that out there in a combat zone. And you were telling me about how they had to burn a lot of the stuff out there with diesel fuel. It's the only way you can get rid of it.
Yep.
And now he's got all kinds of respiratory problems.
Yep. Well,
you know,
look at the movie Jarhead. A lot of people forget about that movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
That, believe it or not, was pretty damn close to what happens. I mean, from a CB standpoint, CBs, we did get treated really well. Why? Because we supplied, especially electricians like me, we provided air conditioning, lights, electricity for you can plug in your phone, your TV, your stuff like that. We were protected. The Marines took really good care of us. On the flip side of that, I know a couple Marines who have personally shot people, kids, 5-6 year old kids, and they had to go to bed that night. They have to live with that for the rest of their lives. And I'm sorry, but during those when you're training like that, that's something you have to be okay with. And I know some people are like, oh, I could do it. Bullshit. Absolutely bullshit. Because even in boot camp, one of the most heart-wrenching things for me is I was paired up with a buddy of mine, and I had to write a letter to his family making up a reason why he died and apologizing, and I had to carry it with me. He had to do the same for me and my family. That was something we had to live with. That was part of our training. You. There is no amount of training in the world that can prepare you for when you're in a conflict. None. I don't care. I don't care if you're the most badass motherfucker you think you are. You get into a situation like that, you're a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, when the adrenaline gets going and you're in a firefight, you don't think. It's not until after you realize what has happened that it hurts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're trained. I mean, they are 100% right. Your training kicks in. And I know it sounds weird to people, but the easiest way I can explain it is if you've ever gone to a 9-to-5 job or wherever and your brain just shuts off and you go into autopilot, and next thing you know, oh, it's time to clock out, or you're driving somewhere and you don't remember, you know, the entire way home. You black out. That is exactly what happens. You don't remember. You don't think about it until after.
Yeah.
And that's when the real tears. And that's something that in the military you have to train for, and you have to be okay with that. And no amount of training will let you. And, you know, going back to the Korean War, they didn't do that for these guys. They didn't have that support. Even the families, which is even more disgusting.
Yeah.
Because of propaganda, because of what our government said. They sat there and kept boasting that we're winning. And then it came back to, oh, well, technically we lost and it's the soldier's fault. Fuck you. It's Uncle Sam's fault. It's the government's fault. You're the ones. You didn't supply what they needed. You didn't give the people what they needed. And guess what? It's happening again with the fires, with what's going on in the Carolinas, when Katrina came through, and even with the economy, they want to bitch about how expensive things are. Hello. use our own shit. Mm-hmm. You want it to go down quickly, like gas. You want it to go down quickly, use our own shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stop outsourcing. And I just, again, I know I'm going a little different ways, but Shadow, you know better. You know better to get me going. I don't. But
all right. Well, let's do that. I was telling Paul about this earlier. Did you know that the USAID had 3 times the budget than the CIA?
For what purpose?
I know.
I mean, the CIA, you would imagine one of the most secretive organization, or a federal agency, I should say, one of the most secretive federal agencies in our government is actually not getting the same amount of money as USAID. Now, I've heard some rumors that the USAID was actually a front for a CIA slush fund. I've heard that. I've also heard that, on a related note, Trump just recently said that he wants Elon to start digging around the DOD. What are your thoughts on that, guys? I mean, if you want to, you cannot ask for a bigger target put on your back than to do a financial audit of the DOD.
Yeah. I just hope they, it is a big hornet's nest right there. And
buzz, bitch.
Yeah.
Good thing you have a CB here.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard over the course of the last few days, a lot of uppers have resigned, put in a resignation. They're leaving. They want out. And then there's some that are just, you know, what you don't hear about. And granted, there's probably quite a bit. I hear many sources saying there's a lot of good guys still in there.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of really good guys. So, I don't doubt it. But it depends on what door they open. Be careful. And that's the thing is, like, they might find it. How much of it there are they actually going to tell us?
Yeah, I mean, they cut, what was it? They cut 10,000, USAID staff 10,000 people, and they cut that down to, what, like 300?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, ouch.
Yeah.
And they gave them a 2-year severance, so.
Yeah.
I love, to be honest, how Elon just basically said, you know what, we're not going to put you out. We're not going to put you, you know, make it hard for people. Just go do something else.
Pretty much.
It's like, you're better off just go somewhere else and just do, you'll be more help that way. I love that. That is a business mindset.
Yeah.
And again, love him or hate him. I like Trump. Because why? Because right now we need business. We need a man who knows how to handle business. And to me, him and Elon are going to tear it up. And I think they're doing that. They're doing it 100%. And I think that's what's needed right now. Later on down the road, is that what we need? Fuck no. But
I would assume then the IRS, we know those 84,000. I'm sure that's out the window. I sure the hell hope so.
Yeah, I want them to go after the IRS. I mean, once I began to learn about taxes, I never understood how is it that we can have our pay taxed, and then we go buy product that's been taxed with money that's already been taxed, to bring to a home that taxed with money that's already been taxed again, to fill up with product that's been taxed yet again. Please audit the IRS. Yeah. Give them bastards the taste of their own medicine.
One, we need to get rid of them completely. The IRS should not even exist. It's owned by the private banking families.
Yep.
And yeah, that's an institute. You know, that's an agency that just needs to be abolished completely. Go back to the gold standard. Many other countries have done it already.
Or at least be better controlled.
Yeah.
Checks and balances. And that's all really, like, in the accounting field. That's all it is. It's checks and balances. And you know, Shadow, you're absolutely right. You know, look at what America was started. What did we hate? Taxes. No taxation without representation. Okay, well, who's representing us right now?
Nobody.
We are representing nobody. We can't even represent ourselves. Why? Because Big Brother. Big Brother won't let us. I'm sorry. I believe King George already tried that, and it didn't work for him.
Mm-hmm.
So
just because you're that close to home don't mean it can't happen to you either.
And, you know, you're talking about budgeting and auditing, you know, the branches. I'm going to say this, but before I do, I want to just say I respect all my brothers and sisters in every branch, even Space Force. You're warming up to me, but you, if you wear the uniform, I give you my utmost respect. And I honestly, I do. You make sacrifices that nobody else has the to do. So I'm going to say that, but I'm sorry, but a bunch of fucking crayon eaters have a better budget and better audit than anybody else. Mm-hmm. The Marines, by the way, that's what I'm talking about. Marine Corps, absolutely fucking spotless audit. How? I've seen these motherfuckers. How? And we can't even audit ourselves. The government, yeah, for some reason, can't find a couple of little, you know, zeros and ones somewhere. Hello?
Yeah.
They, you know, they go to, you got Marines that go to Crayola and think it's a fucking buffet, but our own government can't figure out where money's going. I've seen these motherfuckers blow shit up just because they're bored, which is fun, by the way. I will say I've been part of some of that. That's fun. But and you're talking about the USAID, right? I just looked it up because I'm curious now too on who's funding that. For those of you who don't know, that is the United States Agency for International Development. Keyword development. You think, oh, something fun. Top 10 countries receiving the funding in 2003 in descending order, blah, blah, blah. Ukraine, heard that one before. Ethiopia, okay, they need it. Jordan, Democratic Republic of Congo, cool. Somalia, excuse me. Yemen, could use it. Afghanistan, yeah, we've had some troubles with them. Nigeria, again, South Sudan, and Syria.
Ooh, yep.
That's a fun list.
Well, I think
a lot of that money has been, Al-Qaeda has got their names all over.
And by the way, folks, I'll even just to, for my own sanity here, I'm going to share my screen real quick with you, Shadow. So that way everybody at home can see, I'm not making this up. This is off of Google. That's a little small. Oh, there you go. That's pretty. That is off of Google. I'm not making this up. It is all right here. Who is funding? Who is the USAID funding? Right there it is.
Well, notice, you know,
US isn't on there.
Right. One of the other things that I came across was, now, okay. What I'm about to say, I'm going to say very carefully.
Hey, Paul.
Because I'm going to say this very carefully because I am not accusing anyone of anything. But when it comes to USAID, sending money out to countries that have a direct connection with Hamas, I cannot say for a fact that, you know, USAID is saying, you know, just giving these people straight cash, because then they can use that cash to buy weapons and everything else, fund operations against Israel or any other country for that matter. But I do have to wonder, is there any kind of, you know, oversight to minimize the amount of actual hard currency that's being given to places like this? Because if these people need help with food, send them the food. If they need help with medicine, send them the medicine. What is it exactly that they need hard currency for? I know there might be some that, you know, because, you know, they have to deal with you know, customs and certain fees and charges. But how much of that really account for the total cost of the money that's going out there? And once they get a hold of this, if they're given hard cash, how much of that is actually going towards operations that are contrary to U.S. interest, provided we assume that the U.S. interest is toward the people?
Well, let's dig a little closer to home. You want to, I mean, talk about people in need. Let's go back to the Carolinas. Mm-hmm. The U.S. government said, we don't have money. We don't have money. We don't have money. That's the Biden administration flat out said, we don't have money to help. We don't. Yep. Meanwhile, they're sending billions, not millions, billions to Ukraine. It took Trump 72 hours to get food, water, and temporary shelters.
And it took Elon Musk less than that to get them the network information to for their cell phone.
So you cannot tell me that Musk and Trump have more resources at their fingertips than a U.S. fucking government.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, some people have said, you know, Elon Musk can give everybody, I think it's $10 million. Yeah. And he would still survive or something like that.
Yeah.
Fucking sign me up. But
I mean, sign me up for that and the flamethrower. I want to have yes. them.
Yeah. I'd be happy. I'd just be happy, to be honest with you, with, you know, I'd be okay with five. Give me five. I won't be greedy. Give me $5 million. I'll split it and pay off all my debt. You know, I'd be okay. Yeah. Make me debt free. But to me, it goes back to what we said before. What are things we should know and what things shouldn't we know? But those are one of those things where I think we definitely should know. If we can't take care of our own fucking people, and no matter if it's the LA fire, what happened in the Carolinas, go back to Katrina, any natural disaster, or even a day-to-day life. If we can't take care of our own, why the fuck are we helping other people?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I get it. I get foreign policy. I get the fact that we need to maintain relations with some of these other countries. I get it. But if there's no anything around us, why are we taking care of everybody else?
Yeah.
Especially people like, to me, if we want to start taking care of other countries, cool. How about countries that are close to us? Mexico, Canada, ones that border us.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of other countries that have a lot more money.
Wait a minute. We're helping them. We're giving them $70,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. You know, I mean,
they need
even transgender can be cokehead down there. But I mean, we're helping.
It'd be a fun show.
Yeah,
it'd be a fun show. A transgender opera on coke. That has to be entertaining. I want to see that.
Oh, man.
And I don't think, to be honest, you don't really need all that money, folks. Here, if the government's listening to this, which I'm sure Big Brother is,
oh yeah,
help you save some money. You guys are all about money. Save the money. Just buy some coke, give it to some trans people, and put them on a stage. They'll do something fun. Just save yourself some money.
Yeah, and buy more mice, because $10 million was even. It says here $10 million was created for the study, the creation and the study of transgender mice.
Give me $10 million right here. I'll make anything transgender, whatever you want.
$10 million.
I'll strap a dildo to a mouse. There you go. It's transgender. Doesn't know what it is.
And that's when I was opening up a can of worms there before we went on air. Was if I had that much money, just, you know, try to step on the other side of the fence for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And go, okay, what would be the motivation? Why am I putting that much money into these studies unless there's what else is going on behind in the background? You know,
right.
What is really happening? Is this just absurd, you know, vulgar stuff that the deep state or those that are funding it want to do? Or is there something else happening? And when I told you, when I think outside the box, I really think outside the box.
Oh, I blow up the box, don't worry.
Is extraterrestrial shit that's actually happening? Is the deep state being forced by some other race out there to start doing all this weird freaking experimentation on the genders of human? You don't know.
You know, Paul, it's funny you should say this, because Shadow and I had a conversation about this before. When the U.S., when pilots from the government, we'll just say military pilots were coming out saying, hey, we were seeing some shit. Nobody blinked. Nobody said a fucking word. They're like, okay, they saw aliens.
Yeah. So
there was all these sightings and different things happening in their rooms. And it was all over the media. It was all over TikTok. It was all over everything. Even the local channels, news stations, they were covering this. Huh. Nothing. No reaction.
Right.
Wow.
Somebody talks about transgender or someone's feelings get hurt. National news.
Absolutely.
I think what happened was some of these things were being released. like the moon landing, you know, all this other stuff, all that was coming out, and the government didn't get the reaction they wanted. They were trying to do something else. They were trying to draw our attention to extraterrestrials. They were trying to draw attention to these, what was it called? Non-human biologics.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which that was a fun one. I actually made a shirt design for that. That was funny as hell. But they didn't get their reaction, so they had to switch gears. That's what that's what I think was going on. I think they already had, Paul, you like conspiracies, obviously. You ever heard the Men in Black theory?
Oh, about the, they're not actually humans, but they're actually hybrids.
Yeah, where they're basically among us and hiding in secret, right in front. Yeah, I think that's what's going on, 100%. I can fully believe that one. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of, okay, we're numb to it. We're over that. That's old news. But, it goes back to I think they're trying to piss us off in a certain way to distract us from what they really want to do.
Yes.
Because something along those lines, like, again, and Shadow, I saw your show last night, which I agree 110%. It doesn't matter whether you're transgender, straight, gay, bi, doesn't fucking matter to me. If you want to do whatever that makes you happy, have fun. Enjoy it. You want to do an opera? Cool. You want to do a ballet? Cool. Don't ask me to do it, but I'll support you. But I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out what's going to piss us off the most. And what's going to set us off so they can actually do what they really want to do.
Yeah.
And I think in a way people are becoming more aware of this, which is good. We should be. But at the same time, you still have those who are just, I'm going to do whatever the government tells me to do. They just go about, they have zero thought process. They're just going to go with whatever social media, all the big names. I mean, for example, look at TikTok. TikTok got banned and it was a national emergency. It was like everybody was freaking out about that shit. I was like, it's a fucking app.
Yeah.
My life's going to continue. If I want to watch stupid videos, I'll go on Facebook and watch stupid videos. If I want to go on YouTube,
I will say this in the defense of a lot of people. There were people out there that were actually figured out how to make a decent living off of TikTok and stood to lose a lot. I understand that.
And
I mean, do I really care about an app to where I watch a bunch of people who probably have no talent whatsoever pantomime to a crappy F song from the radio anyways? I mean.
Well, here's the other thing. And, we've talked about this before on shows. You know, people like us who run these podcasts, are we going to be famous enough on YouTube to make money out of this? Probably not. And if we do, God bless us. I've already said before, if I get to do this for a living, y'all are fucked because I'm going to have too much time and too many ideas.
Yeah.
But the fact is most of us, just like major league sports, only a very few will be able to make it and make a decent living out of it. I mean, for example, Markiplier, he is one of my favorite content creators on YouTube. Absolute one of my favorites. He has so much money, he's literally said, I don't know what to do with. How many people are able to say that? And look at how many channels there are on YouTube. Yeah. You're not, there's so many. Mm-hmm. There is no way in hell that we are all going to make it. So to me, if you rely on just one source of income like that, especially a social media, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You need to start looking at getting back to a trade.
Yeah.
Like, I work in retail right now. I'm a fucking electrician.
Same here.
I mean, I've done sales. I've done marketing. I've done fast food. I've done it all. My resume is a multi-tool. I was a Swiss Army knife. I can go literally anywhere. And that's because that's what I wanted. If you're a content creator, I'm going to say this now, and I don't care whose toes I step on, because Shadow, you know me. Paul, nice to meet you. I don't fucking care. But if you're a content creator and that is your main source of income, good on you. But have a fucking backup plan. Be an adult. Shit happens. Get used to it. Suck it up, buttercup. Yeah. You have to have a backup plan.
Yep.
Run with what you can, but have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you're an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, you look at people like the Mr. Beast, which, most of these corporations are actually supporting him. But you know what? What if everything got pulled the next day?
Yeah.
Where is he?
I want to know where his fucking all that money is coming from. You know what? He's always all over the place. Mr. Beast, come to my fucking town.
Yeah.
I'll right. do your challenges. Let's go.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of that money comes from
corporate sponsors.
Yeah. Corporate sponsors, marketing revenue, things like that. But, you know, I've had my episode pulled by YouTube. And I can't prove anything. They told me that I violated a community standard about medical misinformation, even though what I said was repeating what the 500-page document that was released by Congress under the Biden administration confirmed. I didn't say anything outside of the ordinary on that. And then Neil talked about his reaction to the vaccine, and I talked about somebody that I knew that had multiple procedure done to remove blood clot from his lung since he took the vaccine. Now, when they took my episode off, my immediate reaction was, you know, of course, cussing up a storm, but I started to look back and think, well, who stands to take the biggest hit if more people talk like this? Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and the pharma companies that we don't even hear about. Because they're maybe the big rig running the FDA, but they're not the biggest company. They get a lot of their stuff from even bigger company, but quieter company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like we're talking about with rich people. Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates. You know about them. That's only because the ones who don't want to be known go to whatever length necessary to keep their names out of the spotlight.
And they're the smart ones. Yeah. Well, and see, that's why I wanted to screen share that Google piece, because it's not coming from me. I want to show it's coming right from Google. And to be honest with you, these whole fact checkers and Shadow, we've had this problem. I don't know, Paul, if you have on your show, but these quote unquote fact checkers are complete bullshit. But I'm sorry, Facebook or Meta, whatever you want to fucking be called, YouTube, whatever. Sorry, not sorry. But if we are doing a show, and Paul, no offense, I don't know your show, but I'm sure you're right with us. This is our own opinions. None of this is scripted. Nobody is telling us what we're saying. This is original content. That is what original content is. You want to fact check our opinions? Go fuck yourself. That's our opinion. We're allowed to have our own opinion. If you don't want us to have our own opinion, then you need to start taking down some of these, you know, streaming sites.
Yeah. Or you need to move back to your communist country.
Yeah. Or get the fist out of your ass, or even deeper in your ass if you like it that way. But whatever makes you happy.
I know you're into weird stuff. Okay. But
one fist, two fists. No, but no,
this is a conspiracy show, not a BDSM show.
Oh, I got the wrong show. I'll be back.
Yeah.
but the fact is, like, these fact checkers are complete bullshit. And in the paranormal field, folks, there are no facts. It is all theory. Mm-hmm. I hope Meta or whatever you are, fact checkers, I hope you're listening. In our field, there is no facts. It's theory. Any good investigator, whether you're a cryptozoologist or whether you're in the paranormal, it doesn't matter. It is all theory. Why? Because there is no exact fucking science. There are no professionals.
Now, I will say this. I do feel that once something has been proven, stop calling it a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. If our government shit, is it still conspiracy?
Maybe.
Hey, I'm just going off of what you said.
Yeah. And we know... Science is not even, you know, a lot of stuff in science isn't proven. I mean, CERN right now is proving all kinds of stuff from Newton's shit that is, they're like, oh, well, that doesn't exist in the quantum field or this or that. It's like, everything changes.
You know what? Not to go on a tangent, but I think we're way beyond that shit.
You know,
Paul, go ahead, brother.
I wish I could remember who said this, but there is a quote. Science at its best is still only a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, and then the whole thing of trust the science? Nah. Question the science. That's how you push science forward. by asking questions and not just accepting the first thing that comes to mind because it best suits whatever your, you know, donor class want to believe.
Well, it's like on the show Ted Lasso, the I forget what it's called, the manager or whatever like that, Ted Lasso. He literally says, and this is one of my favorite TV quotes, absolute favorite. People always judge me for what they see, but what really bothers me is they never ask why.
Mm-hmm.
They're never curious.
Yeah.
That's what we need to be. But I've been wanting to ask, you said CERN, so I have to ask, do you think CERN has anything to do with the thinning of the veil? That was a big thing.
I think so. Yeah. They've been, when they can do all this particle physics and all these things with the photons and bending space time, which they have kind of sort of loosely let the cat out of the bag, opening up, time warps and stargate. Are you
talking about the Cozy Rev mirrors?
What's that?
Okay. It almost sounded like you're talking about Okay. So real quick, Cozy Rev mirrors was an experiment done in Russia that took a bunch of plate and sealed them together and formed a spiral. And the person would stand inside while they shot a beam of light. And as that light traveled around that spiral, people reported a sense of being detached from reality, almost having vision, a sense of just not even being in that same place, just like they're not even there. So when you said bending reality, I'm wondering if you were referring to that.
It might be the same concept.
I volunteer as tribute just in case anybody's doing that. Yeah. But I think that's more along the lines of the Stargate theory.
Yeah.
What I've heard. I think that's what Paul's talking about.
Yeah. And I think it's also related to the SSP secret space program, which has been going on for decades.
Right.
But again, if it all again falls back to what should we be told and what shouldn't we be told? And what will we be told? Some of the things that we should be told and we're not being told. But no, I was just wondering, Paul, about your thoughts on that one, because I think a collider that big will have some effects, but I'm just kind of curious if it's local effects or if it's a global effect, because
beyond.
Yeah. I mean, and we all know energy can't be destroyed. So that means it's got to expand out somewhere. But to me, I don't know if the CERN one is large enough to make a global scale like that. I know it's fucking huge, but I think it would be more localized.
Well, China wants to build something similar to that too.
Yeah.
But they're also working with some of my sources that have been with the secret space program at this point. Well, they've been doing it for a while, but they've been whistleblowing and saying that, they're working with multiple timelines, multiple realities as ours, which is a potential explanation of the Mandela effect. They're tweaking things in the wrong way, and these are kind of the ripples and the ripples within space time, within our timeline. But sometimes there's certain timelines that can cross over and intersect briefly, and kind of like the deja vu method.
Which actually, I just found out, it's not actually deja vu; it's deja vu.
Ah,
deja vu is a remembrance of something that happened in a dream. Deja vu is a live event that has happened through your day-to-day life that your brain apparently is replaying that you did not dream about. But
this whole time I thought deja vu was just a strip club in downtown Minneapolis.
Hey, we have one here too, thank you. And I'll tell you what, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there.
How much of this money? How much, you know, what money and how does that get funded?
Oh, I thought you were still talking about the strip clubs. I was like, I know how that gets funded. Lonely nights. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like these science experiments, you know, to me, if again, it goes back to the business side of it. If you have a checks and balance, you have a business mindset, you could literally change the world. You can change I'm not just saying the US, you can change everybody's mindset. Mm-hmm. This world would be so much different.
Oh yeah.
Is it going to happen in our lifetime? Fuck no. Why? Because there's government.
Yeah.
It's not run by the people. And you know,
it hasn't been for a while.
And Shadow, you and I were supposed to do a show the other night with two other amazing individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Which by the way, that was fucked up. I seriously thought it was the government. So Paul, I was supposed to do a show about stuff like this. And about a quarter way through the show, I know Shadow had to leave, which is fine, but my internet and my power just went out. Whoa. And I went, oh,
yep.
I was looking for black suits, but
yep, black suits and UAVs.
Yeah.
Drones. Yep.
I bring them. I've got plenty here to take them down. But anyway, I think what needs to happen, in all honesty, if we're going to make things a little bit better, we need to have a voting system in place. I think what we need to do is for anything, not just saying about electing officials, that I have my own theories about that. But if something needs to happen, let the American people vote on it. Let us vote. Let us have a say in it and have people in place to keep people in check. Have the voting stay in check.
Yeah.
Like funding to Ukraine, for example. Should we do it or shouldn't we do it? Let the American people vote.
Yeah.
And not just for one day or one night, have like a week-long vote. So everybody has a chance to vote. You can get any overseas ballots. You can get anybody involved. You want to watch people start paying attention, give them the power to make that decision.
Yeah.
And watch how quickly shit will change. Once more eyes are on the government and what happens with the all elusive dollar, watch how quickly shit changes. Or even better, I've heard this before too. Change the payroll.
Yeah, put them on minimum wage.
But that, like, there's, I forget who it was, but some guy said that the federal minimum wage of $7.25 was more than enough for everybody. I'm going,
yeah, right.
It's $7, not $725. You know that, right? $725 an hour? Sign me up. But I'll work a couple days a week. I'll be good to go.
Right.
But it's like, have you been to a grocery store recently? $7.25? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Put them on
that. Item cost me $40.
Yeah. Put them on that. Put them on the minimum wage. And I'm not saying $40K a year. I looked and I almost worked a year at my previous job and I made 33.
Mm-hmm.
33. I was almost at 20 an hour.
Whoa.
That's, by the way, after taxes.
Yeah.
So if that, do the math, folks. That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's like a third of my check going to Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Put them on that. Watch how quickly shit changes.
Yep.
I say role reversal. Give us all the money.
Yeah.
Let them suffer.
Yeah. You know, and the amount of free health care that they receive the rest of their lives. If they're not in office till 91 or 100, they have health care. Their entire life, whether they're in office anymore, they're still paying for that crap.
Hell, the House and the Senate is nothing but a fucking retirement home anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Half of those people don't even know where the fuck they are.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, look at who was it? Who was the one who had the meltdown not too long ago?
Yeah.
Mitt McConnell. Was it McConnell? Yeah. Mitt Romney.
Actually,
I think a lot of them.
I'm trying to think, how many of them didn't have meltdowns?
There was one not too long ago. They were having some kind of press conference, and just in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Excuse me, that's running my country.
No, thank you.
Pelosi, some of the shit she says that comes out of her mouth. I'm like, I don't know what you, I don't smoke, but it, oh, I don't smoke weed. But whatever she has,
she's been nipping at that little booze snifter she'd got in her jacket, because half the time she sounds like she's drunk.
Yeah. I want whatever's in there. Some of the shit they're saying, it's like, like, I don't even know, am I watching, is it like a science fiction movie? Am I watching C-SPAN? What am I watching?
Yeah.
Like, I just can't believe that. It was McConnell. Mitch McConnell. That's right. Thanks, Renee. That's bad. A Canadian told us. Renee's not from the Canada. Canada. I get too many people.
Yeah.
But no, Renee told me, yeah. McConnell, Mitch McConnell. That was funny as hell.
See, the one that kept, it's like the second or third time he fell. Now he's like in a wheelchair or something like that.
Yep. Look at fucking Biden. Biden was tripping upstairs.
Yeah.
Upstairs, downstairs, on a bike, standing still on a bike.
Do you believe Biden had a body double?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Same here.
And by the way, his body double sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely sucked. You can't, especially right here. Half the time he had a cleft chin, the other half he didn't. It's like, does he have like peanuts or snacks shoved in there? Is that what's going on? Or, yeah. I mean.
Oh, no. You got to remember, he's more interested in the ice cream.
Which that was funny, by the way. Watching him stand back behind and just, ooh, and just walk off stage. Just, or shaking hands with ghosts. That was my favorite. That was funny. And then, you know, seeing the Secret Service and seeing, like, when he was at the Air Force graduation, nobody wanted to shake his hand. It was great. It was absolutely great.
The two things that got me. Number one was, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah, that was
that got me. And the next one that got me was when he was asked about the vaccine. He's like, well, if you want to know about the vaccine, you know, you talk to kids about UFOs, you know? And I'm like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do I have a skip in my video feed here somewhere?
I found it hilarious. And again, folks, true, you can find it. Anytime he didn't have a teleprompter, you saw the true.
Oh, yeah.
And when he did have a teleprompter, notice how small the words went. I'm surprised it wasn't little pictures and ducking. Well, you
know, or a couple of times he even said, I can't read that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What was Chicken Little, the mare, the turkey.
Yep.
That's Biden 100%. That is 100% Biden. I'm like, that's running our country.
That's what amazes me, though. The whole optics that I know the legacy media was hoping they didn't get, but they captured it anyway. And they just like look the other way.
You know, yep. To be honest with you, I mean, I thought it was bad, to be honest with you, when W almost got taken out by a pretzel. Mm. And Clinton almost got taken out by Hillary, which that would have been funny. I still want to see that. But to have Biden take himself out, how do you save that?
Yeah. There's no saving faith from that.
No. I mean, when he was younger, yeah, okay. He had some good ideas. He had some good ideas. I'll admit that.
We'll save that for another show.
Now, I said good, I didn't say great, but whether they were his opinions or not, meh. But now, I like his ice cream idea. I'm a fat kid. I'd rather go for ice cream, but that's really about it.
Well, we are at the hour and a half mark. Any last parting wisdom from you guys?
Follow the money. The money.
I got it real easy. Think for your fucking self.
Yep.
Think for yourself. And honestly, my thoughts and opinions come from all media sources, not just one. Look at multiple. Don't look at one. I'm done.
Yep.
I'll get off my soapbox.
All right. Well, and I will close out with what I say all the time. And once the show ends, you guys hang out in the back room and we'll wrap up real quick about what I'll do after this. But definitely been great having you guys on. Paul, let people know about your podcast one more time, where to find you, when to find you.
It's ConsciousRadioNetwork.com. Everything's on the website. Project Truth has got its own page on there. A regular show called The Seance. Starting April 23rd, we will be doing two shows a week, Wednesday and Saturday. But right now, it's every Saturday night.
All right. And Matt?
Real easy. Just find me on Paranormal Consultant on Facebook, YouTube. Doesn't matter. A clapper, even now. I get that's still weird for me to say that. And just be on the lookout because, like Shadow said earlier, Creepy Conspiracies will be out and up and running soon with my wife, Wicked Queen, and our girlfriend, Felicia. She was in the audience earlier. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a blast with it. And Paravid Studios will be back up and running in full swing momentarily. So the next couple of weeks. But again, pay attention to Paranormal Consultant for all the information.
Right. All right. Well, that wraps it up for the show tonight. And yeah, again, thank you guys for coming on. I will be,
You'll be, Okay.
Hang on.
Black suits are here. I got to go.
All right. Well, no, I hit the wrong button and all of a sudden another screen popped up. I'm like, no.
I'm still waiting to hear.
Yeah.
The last show I did like this, there was a Hilo over the house.
Well, if you don't hear from Paul, like you said, follow the money. throw pennies there, Paul. We'll follow them. It's like little breadcrumbs.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Be smart, be safe, and be kind to one another, because you never know, your one act of kindness might change somebody's life. And remember, this is not a war between Republicans and Democrats, left or right, but this is an all-out assault between the rich and the poor. Know whose side you're on, and know who is on the side with you, because you're going to need their support. And as always, stay weird, people. I'm going to go to the next one.